Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. Sorry for the dry spell. I got distracted with other things. Nothing crazy missed, but plenty to catch up on, so let's dive in. Quick shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If any of you out there want to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. Now on to the news. Amid the Biden administration's accelerated vaccine procurement and rollout, the U.S. is fast approaching the point of having excess vaccine doses. The obvious course of action, rather than letting the doses go to waste and expire, would be to donate them to other countries who are lacking. However, it turns out that the Trump administration signed a contract with the drug manufacturers that explicitly forbids any vaccine bought by the U.S. from being used outside our borders. It's clear why the manufacturers would want to do this. Doses going to waste means more have to be produced and sold, raising their profits. Why the Trump administration allowed it is not as clear, but their negligence may severely harm the global effort to control the virus and stop its evolution into vaccine-resistant strains. Already, the more infectious UK variant has become the dominant strain in the US. If we are unable to assist other countries, the virus will continue to grow stronger, threatening everyone. It would also further damage America's reputation beyond what Trump's isolationist and anti-science stance have already done, if we are sitting on excess vaccine doses while people around the world die of shortages. A recent study of more than 230,000 mostly Americans shows that a third of COVID survivors suffer from some form of psychiatric disorder within 6 months of recovery. It's a broad category, including everything from anxiety to dementia, but the researchers found a clear increase in development of mental disorders from COVID versus control groups, which included survivors of other illnesses like the flu. Best plan? Get vaccinated and avoid catching it. After wholeheartedly backing Citizens United, which allowed corporations to donate unlimited amounts of money to politicians on the grounds that they deserve to influence politics, Mitch McConnell has now completely reversed course as soon as CEOs started objecting to the GOP's voter suppression efforts. McConnell said, quote, "My advice to the corporate CEOs of America is to stay out of politics. Don't pick sides in these big fights. I found it equally discouraging to find a bunch of corporate CEOs getting in the middle of politics," end quote. This after major Georgia employers, Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines, spoke out against the GOP voter suppression bill there, as well as Major League Baseball pulling their 2021 All-Star Game out of the state in protest. Coca-Cola CEO James Quincy called the law unacceptable and a step backwards. Delta CEO Ed Bastian noted, quote, "The entire rationale for this bill was based on a lie, that there was widespread voter fraud in Georgia in the 2020 election," end quote. McConnell went on to threaten them for turning on the GOP, saying, quote, "Corporations will invite serious consequences if they become a vehicle for far-left mobs to hijack our country from outside the constitutional order," end quote. "I'm sure I don't need to point out how absurd it is to classify defending the right to vote in a democracy as hijacking the country. That would be what the GOP is attempting to do by disenfranchising voter blocs that vote against them." That the leader of the GOP would make this threat, however, is alarming. A charitable interpretation would be that he's implying corporations will suffer if the GOP loses power due to general economic policy. A less charitable interpretation would be that he's saying the GOP will engage in authoritarian, anti-free market governance to punish specifically those corporations which oppose them. It would certainly be a continuation along the path that they have been on recently. Evelyn Yang announced the launch of the next step in her sexual abuse movement, a children's book to help parents begin the conversation. Given that statistics show 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys experience some form of sexual abuse prior to age 18, Evelyn sees the need for a tool to help ease kids into this important and difficult issue. She points out that we teach our kids to beware of all sorts of lesser dangers, but avoid preparing them for this because it's an uncomfortable subject. The more awareness there is, the more protected people will be. Proceeds from the book sales will be going to a charity that addresses abuse. Evelyn conducted an interview on ABC about the book and a repressed experience of her own. We talked about a crypto investing UBI a while back called Good Dollar, which allows you to claim a bit of money every day. I've been using the app daily for months and have yet to amass more than a dollar in value. A new crypto UBI app by Democracy Earth and Kleros is an alternative to this that is apparently retaining much more value. They provide a constant cryptocurrency income of one UBI coin per hour, which is currently worth 92 cents, or about $700 a month. The price can vary wildly like any crypto asset. It's up from 69 cents a few days ago and down from $4 just the other day. The creators say the goal is for UBI tokens to be a measure of the worth of human time, sort of serving as a global minimum wage currency for trading time. The drawback is it's less accessible. New users have to deposit about $400, though all but 60 of that is refunded. It also requires setting up an Ethereum wallet, which is a bit of a process, and being vouched for by someone already verified. I'm not going to pretend that I understand how any of this works. $700 a month is pretty tough to believe, so I'm not convinced that that's the case just yet. Perhaps there's something we're misunderstanding, but it may be a great opportunity. You can learn more at the links below, and if you understand it, I'd welcome your expertise if you want to help educate me via the contacts in the podcast description. Canada's Parliamentary Budget Office has released their report on the macro effects of implementing the Ontario Basic Income pilot as a national basic income. They find that the cost would be $87 billion a year and would cut poverty in half. With the cost of poverty being $84 billion a year, that alone brings the net cost down to $45 billion. Previous findings are that it would grow the economy by $80 billion a year. That means the real economic impact would be a net positive of $35 billion a year, even before considering other benefits, not to mention benefit to quality of life. If it's tax-funded, that benefit would be less, but still positive. This is the big picture of UBI. Eliminating poverty saves money. Andrew has provided that link to his Broadway policy that we were waiting for. Here's a few details from the plan. The mayor's office will buy hundreds of thousands of tickets to Broadway shows and seek matching purchases from the private sector, with tickets donated to various groups who are supporting local business. The city will launch a giant advertising campaign for tourism and Broadway. A pilot program will be implemented for high-quality streaming of theater productions. A 3-month tax holiday will be implemented for hotels to encourage tourism. Theaters will be encouraged to offer personal seat licenses, and street COVID restrictions will be modified to allow theaters to use their curb and outdoor spaces to sell food and beverages, allowing for more social distancing in the lines than would be available inside the buildings. You can find a full list of proposals at the link below. Finally, I'm sorry to report that U.S. House member from Florida, Alcee Hastings, an advocate for monthly stimulus checks and carbon tax rebate, has died. Rest in peace, Mr. Hastings, and thank you for spending your time with us fighting for a better future. We will see to it that that torch crosses the finish line. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Bookmark and share the COVID strain and effects articles, Evelyn's book, the cryptocurrency UBI, and the PBO report. Flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the Resist Bot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, or United Way, and don't forget to Yang Daily.